everybody. Welcome to episode 163 of The Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. Today is April 10th, 2012, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, and I am here to announce we are officially starting a Kickstarter for Mike Chin to buy an iPad.
Yeah.
So, no other reason, we want Mike to have an iPad. He needs an iPad.
Absolutely shameless about it. Just want an iPad.
Well, we should announce the reason, Mike. It's so you can play Draw Something.
Yeah, yeah. So I can review games on ISO. I can't say it. All right, iOS device. Bang, got it. Cut that,
Mike.
Right.
We should clarify.
Cut it, man. What?
We should clarify. We are absolutely offering nothing in return.
No.
There will be no value to this Kickstarter other than the satisfaction of Mike having an iPad.
Listen to me talk about it rather than moan that I haven't got one. How about that?
This is true. It actually might actually be worth a lot of dollars for that.
So,
That was horrible.
It down.
Let's go.
Sort it out.
Mike's in on the podcast.
Yeah. Check me out.
No iPad, though.
No.
Kickstarter.
Apparently, there's other platforms that you can play games on these days.
It's funny you say that. There are.
Even though all people seem to talk about is the Draw Something.
Yeah. It is addicting. It is addicting. Mm. Well, let's talk about the other people that are in our virtual room. Mr. Christopher Matthew on this week.
The word is addictive, Greg. Addictive.
Sorry, my bad.
There's no such word as addicting.
Addicting, addictive. I could or could not care less, depending on how you want to say it.
It is and it isn't.
Route.
Mr. Matthew, how have you been?
I've been wonderful. Bored, but wonderful.
Fantastic. Good to have you on the show. Mr. Richard Primrose is not with us this week. I believe he is off goat herding or smurf herding, one of the two.
Has he been in touch today?
He has been in touch, not today. He forewarned me that he was off, going to be busy. He did mention goats. I don't want to get into the details. It didn't sound pretty, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Fair enough.
But we came up with another Brit because, Mike, we really didn't know if you were going to make it or not.
I am the kind of wild card of this podcast. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
You are. So we thought, well, let's find a very respectable, nice guy and just completely corrupt him. So we contacted Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. I don't know about respectable, but yes, Mark Hannock's on Xbox Live, PSN, and on iOS Game Center, Mike, on my iPod.
Yeah. You do all right, don't you, Mark? You can bomb it.
He calls you out.
Yeah.
I think we should talk some games, guys. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, what
you said.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
So what we've been playing? Mark Hannock, since you are the guest, I suppose we should have you start first.
I've done a little bit more of Mass Effect 3 on the single player, but not too much. Okay. I've done a couple more missions and slowly getting through it.
So you would like us to spoil the ending for you now?
No. No. But it did take me like 2 years to play Mass Effect 1 and a year and a bit since release to play the second one, so I'm doing quite well, really. I'm still playing it in the same year it was released.
You're doing better than Mike.
Yeah. It's really good, though. I'm really enjoying it.
Excellent.
I did a bit of Forza 4. We had the G40E R2 Championship race on Sunday, which was good. It was at Hockenheim Ring. We did 25 laps of that. And that was interesting.
Yep.
Hey, hardcore stuff. I've also bought one of the new arcade games, which was released last week, called Pinball Arcade. I never picked up Pinball FX2 because I were always miffed that they kept advertising it as a free game, and when you downloaded it, it wasn't a free game, really. You had to buy the tables unless you'd bought the first game. So
right.
I never even bothered with that, but this one, is really, really good. It's got four tables with it when you first buy it, and they're all real-world tables, what you can go play in the, obviously, real arcades, and they're exact copies of them, and they've all got different challenges with them, and it's really, really good.
Okay. Excellent.
The game I've been playing most lately is Gears of War 3. I don't know what it is, but I've just got really, really sucked into that.
Now, I have a question. I'm assuming you have the latest map pack downloaded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice!
So, tell us a little something about that, because I have yet to download the map pack. I have the stupid season pass, but I did not download it yet. I'm going to do it after the show today.
Yeah, the Forces of Nature maps, as you can gather, they've all linked into some outer nature. There's one called Artillery, which has a tornado sweeping through. It looks really spectacular.
Do you get blown up in it and stuff?
No, you don't. It's not like that one with the avalanche on Gears 2. Well, I don't know.
I mean, can you get killed by the tornado, or is it just it creates havoc?
Not what I've seen. It kicks up a load of dust, and your visibility is limited. And there's a lot of noise, so it disorientates you a bit.
Like the sandstorm one, like the trench map.
Yeah, similar to that, yeah.
Because these guys are so big, they a tornado ain't going to lift them. He's like,
I think one's called Jacinto, and that one's got like rain and thunder and stuff. And
that was in 2, wasn't it? Was that one in 2?
I think it's a remake of one of them.
Yeah.
There's one called Cove, which I've not really noticed anything weather-wise, but it's quite a good map.
It's probably British, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just black map.
Just dull every day. I'm not sure of the last one. I can't remember what one was called. It's obviously memorable.
Yes, clearly.
Yeah, but we're slowly working through them each map, doing the 50 waves on hard to get the achievement and stuff.
Okay. Now, have they added any new elements on the versus play, or is it all just kind of horde play?
There are some extra modes on the versus, actually. I've not tried them, but I've seen them in the menu. There's a special option for the Forces of Nature play things. There's one comeback, what's called Guardian, which I think was in the second one, wasn't it? Gears of War 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not tried it. I just thought that was same as Capture the Leader, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And other than the Gears of War 3 map packs, any other games?
No, that's it, really. Just been hitting a lot of Mass Effect Gears of War 3 at the weekend.
Okay.
A lot of the
now, have you been trying to, I should ask, have you tried the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer at all?
I have briefly. I played a couple of matches when it first came out. I think Chris was there and Steve Amatic and that. And I enjoyed it. It was good.
Now, how do you rank that up with the Gears of War Horde? Because, I mean, they are similar.
Yeah. I have to be honest, Gears of War Horde has obviously got me more hooked than Mass Effect 3 because I've been playing it more.
Okay.
And there's a regular crew on a Friday night who play from LAG, and I've started playing with them. So I know there's a regular Friday night thing for it now.
Okay. We might have to try and get some versus matches going on a Friday night. I do like the versus Gears of War.
Yeah,
it is
I like
right
them.
In it.
Yeah,
it is good.
We had a lot of players last Friday night, so we did a bit of versus till we went back down to 5. So it was a lot of fun.
See, I missed out because of Easter. You know what? Damn that holiday!
I just realised my brother still has my Gears of War 3.
That's not going to work.
God, he's such an
how
idiot.
Far away is he?
He's over there somewhere. He's about, I don't know, like 7 to 10 miles within that range.
Why don't you just go walk over right now, come back, get it back on the podcast.
Well, Britain's not very big, mate. I could probably look out my window and he's there. So.
You can spit from one side to the other. I totally get that.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, why don't we just dive into what you've been playing?
Is Mark done?
Yes, I'm done.
I believe he is.
Yeah. Thank you.
God, maybe
see,
I just...
How I seamlessly did that.
So maybe I just, like, talk a lot, because Mark seemed to go through here very quickly. And he also said thank you at the end. Which is...
It was very polite.
Very polite. Obviously not a listener. So, I've been playing video games, Greg, which is a change.
Yes. That was exciting to hear.
I haven't
one
played.
One of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show.
I haven't played. I don't think I'll play games for about 4 weeks, properly.
Yes.
So, which is a month in Earth time. So, I finished Rage.
Did you do that last night? Or was that earlier?
Yesterday.
Okay.
I did it yesterday
yes.
day. Well, last night for you, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was. It's alright.
Let's talk about the ending without spoiling it, but.
So, the ending is very abrupt. I will give it that. Because for people that don't know, Rage. People were. Raged. brilliant. Rage by the ending. And basically because the game doesn't do a very good job of saying, hey, this is the end. Get ready for the ending. Which most games do kind of subtly, I think. You know, Mass Effect
right.
does it pretty well. And, you know, Call of Duty, you kind of get a feeling that this is probably going to be the end or other such games. So... With Rage, I mean, it really does feel like another mission, you know, and they give you a big gun, and I remember Stu from the veterangamers.co.uk, you should check it out, it's a great podcast and site, he said, when you get the big gun and the BMG ammo, don't be sparse with it, use it, just use it, get out of the way, because you right. don't have long left, so I kind of knew it was coming, and I used all that ammo, but it is, I mean... It is quite deceiving as well because the game's on three discs. So if I hadn't have known about it, I would have assumed that the third disc is yet to come, right? But
right.
the third disc is for multiplayer, as some people might be aware.
Yes.
But you know, that's quite deceiving in a way because you don't really think about it. So I would have thought, oh, that's probably another area. So you can totally see why people would get a little bit cheesed off with it.
Well, and it really is abrupt. I mean, you're just kind of like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... I mean,
it
looks,
that's
I mean,
it.
The way the game's structured is you go to a guy, he gives you a mission, and you go and do the mission. And it's usually to get something or to activate something and to bring it back. They're fetch quests, right?
Right.
And the levels are designed very well. The enemy AI is fantastic. The graphics are good. The weapons feel great. There's no doubt there that they know what they're doing. But, you know, so the last mission does feel like another mission. You know, it doesn't feel like
well,
a massive climax end.
I was going to say that the reason why for me it felt so odd was just because the structure of the game, it's like you go to a town and you kind of do your side missions and fetch quests within the town to kind of graduate to the next town. Mm. And you do that for the first two towns. And then when you graduate from the second town to the third town, you're like, okay, sweet, another town. But then, you know, you spend a minimal amount of time in that next town, and then it ends.
What town are you talking about? The subway one?
Right, right.
So I feel like I spent enough time in the subway town. Maybe because I was doing that five-finger... knife thing and trying to get the achievement,
yeah.
which pissed me off. which I wouldn't recommend anyone to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a weird one because it's a very good game. I really enjoyed it. The things that they didn't do very well was that there's no massive need for an open world, and this is a common complaint with the game. And this
yeah.
new. But they,
yeah, well, I mean,
they really didn't
sorry.
Know what they were doing. With it, you know, like it's software, you know, they created Doom and Quake, linear first person shooters, very well done, very well designed, and they do that great, they nail it. With this, I mean, it feels like they've been given a tool and they don't really know how to use it, you know. If I turned up to Mark's job and say, right, fix an ambulance, I'd be like, I have no idea how to fix an ambulance, you know, like they didn't know what to do, right? And
Mike, I want to interject. So the one thing I really felt like, this was one of those games that felt like it eventually was hindered by coming to the Xbox 360. Because,
oh, totally. Totally. I agree with that.
Yeah, I really felt like they created this open world, And then they redesigned the game because they knew they had to put it on multiple discs.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Because of that, they stopped it from being an open world, and they created this very linear, you go from point A to point B, so they could section off the towns.
I know exactly what you're talking about, right? Because for people that haven't played it or don't know, the second disc is pretty much a different area. In the game, there's two open world areas. And the first disc is like the kind of like sandy one, and the second disc is like it's like more nighttime area. And yeah, you know, they're completely different. And I'm with you, Greg, they purposely designed Rage, Chris. They purposely designed the game like that because they knew they would have to put it on multiple discs, right?
Right.
So that is a point, right? But I think they still could have made it. There's no desire to go free roaming in Fallout and Skyrim. The game kind of lets you off the leash and says find the mission yourself. It doesn't even really tell you where the next town is, right? But with this, it's just, I mean, it gives you a sat nav. In Skyrim, it just gives you a point, right? But in this, it gives you a sat nav. You don't really feel the need to explore. You know, because the wasteland is a wasteland, and it's very hostile. So you feel like you have to push through it.
And not only is there no reason, you know, in terms of like the navigation to explore, but there literally just doesn't feel like any real reason to explore, other than the little achievement. Oh God, what the heck did they call them? The little bots that you were supposed to run over with your vehicle. That was the only thing
jumps,
that ever
you
made
mean.
You.
There's,
yeah, the jumps.
Yeah. There's that.
You had to hit the jump, and then there was a robot that was floating in the air next to all these set jumps, and then you took out X amount of them, you would get achievements.
There's that, and there's like delivery missions where there's like these mailboxes, and you kind of have to like do stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I never really did them.
Skipped over
them. Yeah, I skipped over them as well. You know, very boring. No reason for it. And the beauty of like Fallout and Skyrim is that you get rewarded for being kind of to go off on your own by random encounters, random missions, and that's what makes those games so great is how organic the missions feel. And really, if you saw everything backstage, you know, it happens for everyone. You know, eventually you will come across that mission just at different times for different people. It really is a wasteland. There's fuck all there.
Yeah. Well, and Mike, this is the last thing I'll harp on, and I'll let you wrap up on what you want to say about it. But the only other issue I took with it is that in the kind of open world, in quotes, that they created, it's you could count on, as soon as you entered a certain area within that open world, you would always encounter enemy, the random quote-unquote enemy. Mm. They were always in the same spot. Mm. You always encounter them in the same exact, you know, areas. And so you knew as soon as you got out of that area, you were safe.
Yeah. I mean, you can literally see them turn around on the map, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good game. It is very good. And
it is gorgeous.
I mean, yeah, it's a great, great looking game. Technically, it's very impressive. You know, voice acting is spot on. Yeah, very good. I enjoyed it. But just kind of, it doesn't leave a print on your brain or anything. You don't put it down and go, oh, that was fantastic. I'm totally going to play that again, or I'm going to recommend it to everyone. You know, you very much play it and move on. You know what I mean? It never
good, sticks. Good, not great.
Good, not great, I'm afraid, yeah. Some other people might have played these games. I haven't gone into the show notes, so I don't know what people have played. Right, but I played the Anomaly.
Well, Anomaly Warzone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that the tower defense one?
Kind of, yes.
It's like reverse tower defense, if you will.
Yes, which is becoming a popular trend these days. Yeah, so has anybody else played this?
Yes, I actually played it on my Android tablet. That's where I first knew about this game. And then they brought it to XBLA. I tried the demo out. There's definitely a difference in gameplay in the demo versus how the Android tablet plays out.
Maybe we should explain what this game is.
Sure, go for it.
So this is a game where you control a little man who I have no idea what his name is, and there's some meteor, like some alien, I suppose it's a UFO, I guess, unidentified flying object that crashes into Baghdad, all right? And a lot of the British people who can't act go into Baghdad and see what the hell's going on, as you would. It turns out to be aliens, go figure. And then you have to guide kind of these little vehicles through roads, and you have to map out their path, and you can change their path at each junction. And also, you know, you can upgrade them, and there's little towers. So instead of, in tower defense games, you control the towers. Instead of that, you are the person that goes through. And there was that game, like Defenders of something. Remember that game that came out recently on the arcade? It was awful.
Defenders
anyway.
Of Virginia.
Yeah, that was terrible. It's kind of, you know, the same premise where you control the people going out. And it's presented very well. I'd say that for it, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of interface, the way the menus work, the way it unfolds, the start menu, everything is very nice and very well presented. I thought that was a good start. You know, I thought, oh, that's pretty good.
Right.
Ultimately, I thought the game was a bit slow to start off with. It really does go, this is how you move through this. Well done. You got to the end. It seemed a little bit scared of giving you multiple tasks each mission. However, when it did pick up, right, I was getting into it. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, and, you know, different towers need to be approached from the side, because if you approach them head-on, they'll absolutely blitz you. You can heal the little cars. And instead of controlling a camera that just overlooks everything, you control a little guy, which I thought was a nice little touch.
Yeah, so the guy, that's an interesting twist. So in the tablet form of the game, as you are controlling your convoy, you go into the overhead, you know, tactical map, and you select their route, and you can change which direction they want to go. And then as you get into the game, as it's going along, you'll get these medical, you know, upgrades, if you will, where they basically, like, medikits will be shot down and given to you. And all you do in the game is you basically tap with your finger onto those to recover them.
Yeah.
In the Xbox Live Arcade game,
they created
this little man. That guy does not exist in the tablet game.
I thought that. I didn't think that.
Yeah, and so he runs all across the map now to collect those items, as opposed to you being able to tap on the screen somewhere.
I've got a question for you, Greg.
Yes.
Slightly pointless, like, kind of doesn't really matter question, but because on the title screen, you know, you see the man with the suit that you control, and it's
right.
on the kind of, like, I suppose, box art, you know, on the Xbox Live, when you click on it, you see that man again. So I take it that man is not in the mobile version at all, or
right. So you never have any soldier on the ground in the tablet version. You just are controlling the convoy constantly.
So really, the man is a cursor. That's all he is.
Yes. Yeah, that is exactly what he is.
Because the biggest thing, really, the big daunting thing for me was, how do you shoot? Right? Because the guy that you play as, he doesn't shoot, he doesn't fire weapons at all.
Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the real crux of it is you have to upgrade your offensive units, and you'll be able to switch out which units you put in the convoy. So you could put all units that shoot and don't have much defense, or you could put units that are much more defense-heavy but have weaker firing capability, and then you guide them through the map. And so you have to make smart choices on which enemy to try and attack first and maybe try and loop back around. So, I mean, the gameplay hasn't changed much. But, yeah, you don't ever shoot. It's actually handled by the AI in the game. So your convoy will fire on the enemy towers as they draw close to them. Your job really is maintaining their health, choosing their path, and then there are some upgrades and some airstrikes that you can call in to assist your convoy in making its way through the city. And that's the whole premise of the game.
So what do you think of it, Greg?
I liked it as a tablet game because it was, I think, like $3, and I was like, I want, some kind of tower defense game on my tablet. Not sure. I think it's $10 on Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah. And I think there's better tower defense games to be played.
Yeah.
I really can't sit there and say this is a good $10 spend when there's games like Orcs Must Die, which is a great kind of take on tower defense. You've got, of course, our favorite one, which, God, the names escape me right now. Defense Grid.
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic tower defense game. Probably the best tower defense game out on Xbox Live Arcade. And a ton of content. So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, personally.
No, it's
at least not
a bit of a stretch
Xbox
for the
Live
price,
Arcade.
I think. Yeah. Bit of a stretch for the price. But it's as a tablet game, on my iPad that I don't have, it would be...
Right. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what else, Mike?
I've also been playing another demo called Sniper Elite.
Yes, Sniper Elite. This is the Sniper Elite V2, I think, the newest one.
That's the one.
Okay.
This is made by Rebellion.
Right.
Who have recently made Never Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not selling me so far.
Nope. And stop waiting for it. Alien vs. Predator. I know. Don't buy it just yet. this game is rough, right? The title screen absolutely rips off Splinter Cell Conviction. You know, that kind of, it's like a real room and everybody's frozen. And, like,
right.
Each kind of menu goes to a different place in the room. Just ripped it off. That's the start menu. It's set in World War II and you're playing a sniper. Go figure. It's rough. The demo itself is you're plonked in. You have no idea where you are. All right, apparently you're in Berlin, but it doesn't say. He just goes, there you go, you're a sniper. Right? And you're just on a road. I have no idea what my mission is. Right? It's just go to this thing and shoot these Germans. Because we all know that Germans back in the 40s were pretty bad. Right? So right. It's okay to kill them. You do have other weapons. You do have like a machine gun and a pistol with a silencer on it. The main focus is the sniper rifle. Though you just need the other weapons because sometimes you do occasionally come across enemies that get close because they will try and advance forward. They are trying to get to you.
Okay.
And it gives you like very long roads so you can snipe down. My point is, this game is a bit shit, but I liked it because it is shit. I will say that the kill cam, when you do get like a killing shot, it goes into a Max Payne kind of slow-mo view. And it does a kind of Mortal Kombat thing on you, where it'll show an x-ray of the person. You can see their bones and their organs, and you'll see the bullet go through. And the first time I saw this, I was like, I did swear out loud. I swallowed. I swore out loud because I was like, fucking hell, right? Because it's pretty brutal. It's third person game, which I think helps it a little bit out from the crowd. I'll tell you what I did in the game. You start off on a road, a very long road. Germans are advancing. You kill them, you get cool kill shots. You advance up the road and you have to plant these explosives. And you don't really, I had no idea why. Right, you just plant these explosives. Okay. Right, because apparently there was a convoy coming. Right, so I have to make this, I didn't know they was coming. I don't know how the game knew. So I went to the top of this tower, which was pretty tricky, I have to say. And the harder you set it at is how kind of difficult, how detailed and how much how difficult the sniping is, really. You have to take in, if you put it on the hardest one, you have to take into consideration distance, wind.
Wind, yeah,
you know.
Okay.
I don't think you have to do the earth rotation or anything stupid like that, but, you know, those things. I put it on kind of hard, so not absolutely hard, but it's hard. So I have to take into account distance, but not wind. And obviously, you put it on easy. You know, you put the crosshair square on them, and you're fine.
Right.
So that's pretty good. And then, yeah, the convoy comes and you have to shoot the explosives to stop the convoy, and they all get out and all sporadically, and they try and advance forwards, yeah. And then you kill them. And then the tank comes, and then the demo ends. It's not very like polished or it's rushed. It's pretty sparse on the graphics, but there's something about it. I think it's because it's, you know, you're on your own, you just lay on guard, you're doing some sniping, and sniping's fun. That's all it is. I don't know if it lasted 10 hours, for example. I doubt many people would finish it. If it lasted 4 to 5 hours, which these are the people that made Rogue Squadron, by the way, which is an hour, right. which lasted an hour and a half. I think it's like one of the like shortest games that's a full retail release. So I doubt it's very long. That's just my instincts telling me that it's probably not very long.
Now, Mike,
yeah.
If I told you this game was going to let you kill Hitler.
Is that
or at least
true?
Have a chance to kill Hitler. Yes, they do give you. I believe it was a bonus mission. If you bought it new, I think it was like a DLC mission. You could have a chance to kill Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I suppose that would be a little more relevant. I don't know. A few years back. I don't know.
A few years back when.
I mean, the dude's already dead, so it's not like if we don't kill Hitler.
Not according to these conspiracy theorists. Yeah, I mean, you know, does it, when you snipe him, does like the kill cam come on and he shoots himself and takes cyanide just before he kills him? No, I suppose that's fine. Why not? That doesn't really kind of change my opinion of it. It's a bargain bin game. That's what it is.
Okay.
I think it will kind of win people over because people naturally kind of back the underdog and they realise when something's terrible but has some redeeming qualities, I think people do kind of back it. So I have a sneaky suspicion that this game will be kind of like a guilty pleasure, bargain bin, you know, buy it on a when it's, you know, like $5 or $10 or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty good. It was all right.
Excellent. Mm. Anything else?
That is all I've been playing.
Okay,
I played Modern Warfare 3 just before the podcast started because it was quick and easy, and I thought, what can I play in 15 minutes? So I played that.
And quick and easy.
Still got it.
There's a lot to be said about that.
Still got it with Modern Warfare 3, by the way, Greg. You know, still
nice.
Got it.
Still got it. Huh?
Still got it. I got a 11 kill streak on, you know, my first match. As soon as I play, I haven't played it for months. Still got it. These kids.
Giggity, giggity.
Giggity.
Okay. Mr. Matthew. I know you're dying to talk about something
other than,
truly great.
Other than whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I haven't played much this week. I've kind of been a little busy at work and also just kind of in that funk in between games, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway, I played some more Lord of the Rings War in the North. It is still very, very average.
Okay.
Made more so by playing it solo. A lot of games...
Han Solo. Sorry.
Yes, oh, no. Hans Solo. A lot of games that are sort of average can be made better by playing co-op, and then you play them by yourself without the distraction of someone to jawjack with, and you're like, yeah, this isn't that great. So that is what it is.
Okay. Hey, I'm gonna derail you for a second, and I don't know why I'm making this correlation, but so Lord of the Rings North, average game, better with co-op. Have you been paying much attention to Dragon's Dogma?
You know, I didn't see it until Steve-O-Matic posted that trailer today, so I need to do a little bit more reading on it.
Okay.
Looks interesting.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious to hear some of your thoughts on it once you learn a little bit more about it. There's especially a pawn system. For whatever reason, this game is almost kind of reminding me a little bit of like a Dark Souls, but combined with kind of the Lord of the Rings deal. I don't know why. It is a strange game, but I'm being more and more intrigued by it every time I learn a little something more about it.
Hmm.
So
I don't know. It looks cool.
There you go. It looks cool.
That's all I can say. All I've done is watch the trailer. So all I can say is it looks cool.
All right. Well, tell me something about this Civilization V business.
Well, that's old news.
What? That's not a PC, man.
Well, I first played Civilization V on the Mac several months ago, but I was just sitting there on the Steam, and I was looking at my library, and I was like, you know, I haven't played Civilization in a while. So I fired it up, and I've been just kind of – it's the thing I love about the Civilization is you can get lost in it, and hours will disappear, or you can log in, play three or four turns, and go away. You know, or if, say, like this afternoon, I was playing a few turns, and wife and kid came home, it was time to go prepare dinner – I don't have to worry about it. I just leave it. Nothing's going to happen while I'm gone, right?
True.
So, yeah, it's nice. It's very, very deep, Civilization V, and I haven't even scratched the surface of it. I'm still only playing on the second easiest difficulty setting. But it's fun.
It's because you're not being driven by achievements.
You know, I think that might be part of it. Yeah. Even though it does have achievements, there's Steam achievements. I just can't be bothered with Steam achievements.
Because they don't count those in your world.
They don't make that cool noise. That's the thing, right?
That's the trick. That's the trick.
Yeah, so that's that. And then I've been playing – I played a little bit of Journey.
Ah.
Okay.
The PlayStation Network title.
Right.
I am aware.
It's very clever. Yeah, I think Stuart might have told you a little bit about it.
I think he brings it up then again, yeah.
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 So, I won't talk a lot about it because it's a couple weeks old, but I only played it for
maybe I've been talking about Rage, mate. You talk about Journey.
Yeah.
No, I don't have much to say because I only played it for about a half an hour.
And did you find it challenging not being able to actually talk to anybody in the game? Or did you come across anybody? Maybe that's a better question.
Well, I did come across one person, and I wasn't sure really what was going on. Like, I could tell that was another person over there because they were moving in sort of an erratic fashion. They didn't really make any attempt to communicate with me other than just to sort of be in the general area where I was. And I couldn't.
So let's actually, real fast, Chris, I'm sorry. Let's take a step back and kind of maybe set the premise for what Journey is, because some of our listeners may not know what Journey
kidding,
is.
You're kidding, right? You're kidding.
Oh, but maybe like one or two.
Well, to put it simply, you're a little person, and your job is to walk from where you are to where you want to go. That's it.
There you
go. That's all there is to the game.
I say so, and you will come across. Ideas are often the best.
And you will come across other people,
right?
So, and there are I guess puzzles to be solved.
Yeah, so there's a bit of puzzling to it, but nothing really crazy difficult. You know, it's all kind of all right. I get it. This is what I'm supposed to do. And yeah, so you come across other people, but you can't talk to them. You just, I guess you can do musical notes to one another, although I didn't see that feature. But then.
And you don't even know who they are.
Right.
Yeah. They're completely anonymous.
Right.
It's kind of like Eyes Wide Shut, the game.
Yeah, except without the orgies and overdosing, yes.
That's to come later on. That's the
game.
DLC.
Ah, yeah. But, you know, it's a very relaxing kind of, the presentation is very minimalistic. The music is very mellow. So yeah, it's a nice way to pass some time, I suppose.
Now,
it's a very creative.
Sorry. You pay $15 for this, right? Correct.
I did. Yes.
Is it worth the $15? That's what I want to.
Well, I haven't finished it yet, so I can't answer that question. But my initial thinking is yes.
Hmm.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it was a so far so good.
Yeah. I mean, I really like it. I really do like it because it's something different. That's not the only reason I like it. I mean, the flaming bag of poo is something different. I don't really like that.
That's an indie game. I'm sure you could find that.
Yeah. It's something. It's different.
Pretty sure that's on Xbox Live minigame.
There's a lot of flaming bags of poo on Xbox Live indies. It's different, and it's very well executed. So it's just like Mike said. They took a very simple idea. They executed it very well. Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
Done. Boom. Anything else, Chris?
No, a pretty short list this week. I just downloaded the new Mass Effect DLC. I was a bit disappointed to find out that I have to get, you get the six new characters, right?
Right.
Or maybe it's five. Well, you don't get them right away. You have to unlock them in supply packs. So I was a bit disappointed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just another reason to keep playing, right?
No. On the subject of Mass Effect 3, so they had Operation Raptor last weekend. And
right.
If you promoted two characters, you were supposed to get a commendation pack. And if everybody promoted enough characters, everybody would get a victory pack, right?
Right. I never got my commendation pack.
I got neither.
Okay.
I contacted customer support, and the nice person in India copied and pasted their response into the chat window that said, apparently some people were using a glitch to get more packs than they were supposed to get. And so they just stopped issuing them out altogether. And I said, well, when are they going to start reissuing them? We don't know. So apparently I'm just not going to get it.
Right.
So I'm a little miffed about that. I mean, it's not that big a deal at the end of the day, but it's still annoying.
Right. I mean, honestly, they were free packs. Why do they care if people were glitching it to get more?
Yeah, it's not like they gained.
It doesn't really affect anything, yeah. I mean, maybe the leaderboards.
Competitive edge. I mean, that's not really any, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. But you know why they care. Because if you get the commendation packs, then you get stuff that you might otherwise need to buy a Spectre pack to get for, right? And so people aren't spending 160 Microsoft points on a Spectre pack.
Well, but have you seen the premium Spectre pack, which is 240 Microsoft points?
I have seen that option, yes. I'm saving up in-game credits for one.
That is definitely the recommended way to get it. All right. Let's see. For me, it was a short week on gaming as well, just because the holiday weekend with Easter and my son's birthday, I was out of town, so the whole weekend did not touch the Xbox. But I came back and wasted no time jumping in. Got some time with Tiger Woods. Did the Kinect demo.
Are you a Swedish lady?
No, I am.
Are
not.
Are you an owner of a nightclub?
Maybe.
Because that's how you get time in front of Tiger Woods.
Nice.
A joke that's 2 years old, everyone. Thank you.
Good job. So Tiger Woods Kinect. I was very curious. And I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't have any issues with it. It works. Worked very well. I do have some things that I would have liked to have seen a little bit better, and maybe it's just the demo, but the shot aiming mechanic works fine. It just needed to be a little more touchy, a little more responsive. That's a better way to put it. Because, basically you would hold a hand out with your hand open, and then when you closed it, that would basically kind of lock in and say, okay, now I want to move where I'm going to shoot my ball. And then you could either go left or right to change your shot aiming.
I see.
But it seemed like you had to move your arm quite a bit to get the cursor to start to move, and it was very difficult to get it to do that small little movement without being too exaggerated with your arm.
Can you change and then that you just, in the menus and options? Or?
I don't know. I don't know. It very well could have. I don't know. I didn't spend that much time with it. I just I noticed that. That was one thing that didn't seem to work all that effectively. But everything else worked pretty great. I do wish I had spent one more, kind of round with it, because it was only three holes of golf. But I didn't notice. Yes, I played the demo.
Oh, I thought you played the game. No, I played the demo with the controller.
Yeah, so I do plan on getting this through Gamefly, and I plan to spend more time with it because I really enjoyed my time with it. Kinect stuff, like I said, it worked well, and I like playing real golf. And it gave a lot of those very similar feels because I was getting down into my golf stance with my hands together.
Yeah.
I thought it was very intuitive the way they did the addressing of the ball, which is, you kind of get into your golf foot stance, and then you put your hands together like you're holding a club, and that's when you're addressing the ball. I don't know how well Kinect, and this is just because I didn't experiment with it, but I don't know how well it will track a hook or a slice in your natural swing. Supposedly, it can. I never really tried to. Yeah, I didn't try to game the system and artificially create a slice or a hook.
I wouldn't have to. I slice and hook my shots all the time. I'm always shocked when I do a straight shot in goal. But hey.
But yeah, so I did very much enjoy just the whole experience. I mean, it felt like golf, and I was able to control the amount of power in my swings. I know some people were complaining about chipping, but I didn't have a problem with that.
Was I hitting
maybe
it too hard or too soft?
Yeah, I think it's because a lot of people were taking full swings. But when you're chipping a ball, you don't take a full swing.
It's like a half swing, quarter of a swing.
Yeah. And that was one of the great things is I definitely noticed if I went up, you know, into a full swing, I could then bring my arms down and I would see the club come down into like a half swing stance, and then I would just follow through and it would be my half swing. Yeah. So, it definitely got high marks for me. I was pleasantly surprised.
Question.
Yes.
Answer. Could you say, for example, I have the game, you have the game,
right?
Could you play me online and you play Kinect and I play controller?
I don't know. And I don't know for, I think so. Because I think if I'm not mistaken, the way Tiger Woods, typically the way the online multiplayer works is you get to the hole and you each play through the hole. You're not playing quote unquote together.
No,
so
it's kind of like
I'm not,
asynchronous.
Yeah, I'm not waiting.
It's
asynchronous. I'm not waiting for you to take your shot. You're not waiting for me.
Yeah.
We just get through the hole. So I think you could. I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I don't see why not.
Right. I don't either.
It would be interesting to just kind of play each other. And you know, you go connect, I go controller. You know, it'd be like a mouse and keyboard versus controller kind of debate, but with connect.
Yeah, I'll say this. I have it on my Gamefly. It's on my top of my list. And once I pick it up, I probably will end up hanging on to it from Gamefly and buy it.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I was going to say, because EA would – you'd have to buy the game brand new or buy the online pass, wouldn't you, to play this online?
Right, which is one of the things I like about Gamefly. If you buy the game from them, they will send you the box with all the booklet and codes that came with it originally
I don't know if LeFilm do that.
I would think they would. But, hey, what do I know?
There's other people on this podcast. We could ask them, Mark, do you know?
I didn't even know you could buy them from LeFilm.
Yeah, apparently you can. I have never done it, but you can.
I know you can buy movies, but I didn't know you could buy games. I don't think you can do it like Gamefly, where Gamefly, you rent it and you just keep it, don't you? You pay for it.
Right.
That's from my understanding, that's what you do. But, again, I've never done it, so I could be talking bullshit.
I don't know. I've never done it.
I'm on the LeFilm website now. I'm going to see if I can do it.
Okay. Well, I'll continue on. So, I've been playing a lot of Halo Reach lately. And playing online versus Slayer matches and just having a blast with it. I forget how much fun Halo Reach is, especially in the versus Slayer stuff. Had a few rounds last night. I think the only thing that really, and this goes without saying for any of the online multiplayer games, but when you are in a public lobby, just inevitably, you get those one or two D-bags that just kind of, they sour the experience a little bit. And I had one match where you had those guys trash-talking like this mattered. And other than that, just having a blast with it. Just getting back into it, enjoying it. This is one game that I actually own. It's an on-demand game. And I got this with a code from Microsoft. And I have to say, I love being able to just at any point fire up Halo Reach, not have to load a disc, just have it on my hard drive, full copy, no disc swapping or needed. And that, to me, I really hope our next systems will have day and date release for on demand.
Think about it, right? When the Xbox 360 launched, that was a pipe dream. Think about how far the Xbox 360 has come from its launch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about just the other day of how different the games from the launch of the Xbox 360. I mean, Perfect Dark Zero, compared to what we're seeing now. And it is night and day. I mean, you would look at the games that the 360 launched with and think, oh, that was an Xbox game.
Foreshadowing.
Yes. Battlefield 3 is just a mess right now.
Why?
This whole rent-a-server business...
I don't know anything about this. What is this?
Okay. So Battlefield 3, EA launched off a patch that basically fixed a bunch of issues, but also gave people the ability now to literally pay and rent servers from DICE and EA that they can basically run their own games.
This isn't required. It's an extra.
No, not required. So DICE still has public servers on there, but they are hard to find. You don't typically see a bunch of the DICE servers coming up in just your normal server search. And the other part about it is that because the rent-a-servers become very popular, everybody's renting servers, creating their own private servers that they can be public where anybody can join them, but they have their own rule sets. And what I'm finding is all the DICE servers are empty. Last night, went on, was looking. Everything was pretty much zeroed out in terms of people playing. It was only the private servers that had stuff going on. And those games, I mean, like, one of the servers I went into, it was like six people, two on one side, four on the other. And I'm like, okay, Battlefield 3 with that amount of people is horrible. And then the other server I went to that was bigger, I was like, okay. And it was infantry only. So I was kind of thinking, I'll do some close quarters. I get into that, a freaking 1,000 tickets. That was the, for each side, had 1,000 tickets. And I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to finish this game and get my experience. You know, the game's not going to end, and because I quit early, I don't get any experience points for any of the kills or anything that I did. And it pissed me off.
That sounds shite.
Yeah, it is... It's frustrating. And I don't know, you know, now that they've done this, they can't go back. It's kind of really broken Battlefield 3 for me. And I'm seriously contemplating now. I don't know that I'm going to play this ever again unless it's private matches with the gay people.
But people are buying servers, though. Right?
Right. Anybody can rent a server. You can rent it for one day. You can rent it for like a week. You can rent it for a month, and there's costs associated. I mean, a one-day server rental is like $2.
Right.
So it's relatively cheap. But again, it pulls everybody away from playing in the public servers because everybody's doing the private servers nonsense now, and half of them are just, you know, they've got crazy rule sets to them of, you know, I mean, one server, which was actually a pretty decent server, but it's like no grenades or shotguns. And, okay, but grenades are kind of an important part of Battlefield 3. I don't know. Call me crazy. So, yeah. I was very disappointed.
The thing is, I mean, what worries me about this is people are paying for the service, you know. People are actually putting money down for them, which makes me think maybe this will be a popular trend. I don't know. Like this could happen again.
It's a bad precedent, and you know, I mean, the Battlefield is a popular series, so I'm sure it will continue to have fan support. Which, I mean, from just this experience, it's unfortunate because I really wish the private server business and the renting of servers would die off, because I think it is effectively broken Battlefield 3, at least for the 360. I don't know if it's the same happening on the PS3 or on the PC side. I mean, kind of on the PC side, it's probably been that way from day one because they've been able to do private servers.
Yeah, that's the point of PC. Yeah, that's kind of like.
Yeah. But anyway. And I do have to throw out one correction from last week's show. This was something that Richard Permez pointed out to me. Is a Dark Souls correction. Rich, you are absolutely correct. There are no elves in Dark Souls. I had listed that as one of the potential reasons why Mike Chin would not like Dark Souls. No elves. Skeletons, but no elves.
Also, you got to correct him on the fact that he thinks it's good. So.
Well, there's that.
I'll just do
there's
that for
that.
Him.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. So, I think that does it for what we've been playing. So why don't we dive into some new releases. Okay, so new releases for this week. On the Wii, we again have nothing.
Dead platform.
Yes, unless you're Steve Conger, in which case you think it's the greatest platform ever. Because of Xenoblade.
Yep.
That is... We'll go over that shortly.
Nobody cares about JRPG.
On the 3DS, you have Spirit Camera, The Cursed Memoir.
Spirit Camera?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Spirit Chimera, maybe, is what it really is.
That's got to be Japanese.
Yeah.
Spirit Chimera. That sounds like a game.
Chimera. Yeah. I like the spirit camera.
I think a camera with a good spirit is better game, to be honest.
Moving on to the PS3. Nothing on the retail shelves this week. In fact, that's kind of a common theme across the board. But there are some PSN games to be had. Speaking of Marcanix, the Pinball Arcade out on the PSN this week for $10. You've got Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3 FES. Yeah, a little PS2 classic there. Skullgirls, Sour Patch Kids, World Gone Sour. I do love Sour Patch Kids, by the way.
I don't know what that is.
Sour Patch Kids are a candy. The game, I couldn't tell you.
Huh.
Demos this week. Mike, as you already pointed out, Sniper Elite V2 is out, both PS3 and 360.
Yeah.
DLC this week on the PS3, Mass Effect 3 Resurgence Pack. It's free. The Modern Warfare 3 Black Box, Black Ice, and Negotiator maps. This, I believe, is free to the Call of Duty Elite PS3 subscribers.
Yeah, it's free to the people that are paying for it.
Right. And then Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City DLC number 1 comes out this week free. Yeah. PS Vita. No retail games, but they do have some arcade stuff, the Pinball Arcade, and Treasures of Montezuma Blitz out on the PSN, and some DLC for Escape Plan, Bakukui's Lair, I don't know. Couldn't tell you, but yeah, I don't know. Xbox 360 this week, again, nothing on the retail shelves, but Xbox Live Arcade has all kinds of stuff. You've got Fez coming out for $10.
I've heard a lot about that game, sorry.
It's getting some good hype, that Fez. I'll have to check it out. It comes out Friday, apparently, so it's got one of those odd release dates. We do have Skullgirls coming out this Wednesday for $15. Sour Patch Kids World Gone Sour for $5 on Wednesday. That might be an indicator of the quality. And the Splatters. No idea, but the Splatters for $10. There you go. Demos, again, we already talked about it. Sniper Elite V2. And DLC, Mass Effect 3 Resurgence Pack. And Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, DLC number 1. Yeah, DLC number 1. And deals of the week. You've got some Modern Warfare stuff going on. Modern Warfare 2, the Stimulus Package, the Resurgence Pack, the Map Pack. From Call of Duty World at War, basically everything going half off. So if you want some World at War or Modern Warfare 2 DLC, go up, check it out. It is on sale. And that is it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Okay, so it's news quiz time, guys.
News quiz time. Just for the record, as Mark has pointed out to me, and I found out as well, you can buy the games from Love Film, but it just takes you to the Amazon link. So it's
Amazon
like, hey, you
bought
can
Love Film, yeah.
You can buy this game on the internet. Go figure. So, technically I was right, but really what I meant was wrong.
That's okay. We'll let it slide.
Cheers, mate.
All right, so news quiz.
News quiz.
You guys know how this works. I ask questions. You get a chance, multiple choice answer. And the winner gets a free round of Tiger Woods golf on the demo.
Oh, cheers, mate.
All right, there you go. All right, first up, Chris.
Greg.
What former FASA IP was sold back to its creator and is now making its return in the form of a Kickstarter fund? Is it A, MechWarrior, B, Mech Assault, or B, Shadowrun?
Hold on. Do those letters again?
That would
it, was, it was A, MechWarrior, B, Mech Assault, or C, Shadowrun. I was gonna throw a three in there. I know.
You said B twice.
Did I say B twice?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Back. Everybody, back off. Indeed.
I'm gonna go with MechWarrior.
Probably shouldn't have gone with MechWarrior.
Oh well.
That's okay. Shadowrun.
You know, I wanted to say Shadowrun, but that was such a shit game. I thought, no way. Okay.
Yeah. It was real popular back in the day, and then they made that shooter, and it was crap. But Shadowrun Returns has a Kickstarter, and basically all the backers for the $15 level will be able to snag a copy for their iOS X-powered box of choice, whatever the heck that is. But anyway.
Well, crap.
Yeah. Yeah, OS X-powered box. I don't know what that means.
No,
but more importantly, it's in Spanish, German, and French, as well as English. Yeah? Yeah? Are you excited now?
Nope.
Okay. Mike.
Yes.
What trademarked title has now been confirmed as canceled?
Can you repeat the question, please? Sorry.
What Epic, as in Epic Studio, trademarked title has now been confirmed as canceled?
Okay.
Is it A, Fortnite, B, Shadow Complex Duo, or C, Gears of War Exile?
C, Gears of War Exile.
Yep. It has been indeed canceled. In fact, Cliff Bleszinski was at PAX East and said, let's bury the hatchet now, speaking to GameSpot. He said, Gears of War Exile was an unannounced game that I can't give any details about that has since been canceled.
I think it was something to do with Kinect, right?
That was the rumor, but nobody really knows for sure. Nobody's talking, so yeah, it's done. Oh well.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Something else, Gears of War, will come out soon.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was watching the IGN Start Up at Noon thing with Greg Miller.
Yeah.
It's a good show. And Cliffy B's on there, and he says, he puts it very simply and bluntly, saying, we like money, so. I think he was being sarcastic. He said, Gears is done. You know, we don't want any money. Yeah, it's finished. Of course they're going to make another one. But they're just probably deciding on what they're going to do. So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, you are up. And, Mark, you're always right because you are Mark Wright. So you need to live up to your namesake here. What is the new major feature for Orcs Must Die 2? That was revealed at PAX East this past weekend.
Ooh, I know this one.
A, co-op play. B, P versus P play. Or C, 3v3 play.
I've no idea. I knew the bloody last one as well, the Gears one. I'll guess it'd be co-op.
It is, in fact, co-op play. Exactly, yeah.
It's a woman, isn't it? There's a woman?
Yep. You have a spellcaster female and the male spellcaster, and you get to deploy new traps, new spells, all new kinds of stuff, but you can do it with somebody else.
Really?
So, exciting. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Chris, we're back to you. What platform will Epic Studios' next game appear on exclusively? Is it A, the next Xbox, B, the PS3, or C, the PC?
PC.
Yep, Epic getting back to its roots with a PC-exclusive project. Yeah, they didn't say anything more, but they said we might be working on a PC-only title.
It's unreal.
And then Cliffy B said, let me say that again, we are working on a PC title.
It's probably Unreal.
It could very well be. I know a lot of people are clamming for it. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Which of the following are one of the newly announced changes to Halo 4 multiplayer? So is it A, field vision, B, night vision, or C, forerunner vision?
I don't know, but it's probably a toss-up between A and C because B is dumb, so I'll say C because I have no idea what it is.
Well, hey, you got it right. It is, in fact, forerunner vision. In fact, they announced three different things with the upcoming Halo 4 multiplayer. So instant respawns, and they did some clarification on this.
So
in Slayer matches, not objective-based modes, but more, you know, the Slayer-type matches, you will have instant respawns. Instead of having to wait for a timer, you will just instantly be able to respawn.
Really?
Yeah. Because that five-second timer was terrible.
Apparently it was. Forerunner vision basically allows you to see through walls, according to the Game Informer article that this was pulled from. But 343 did clarify you will not literally be able to see through walls all the time. He said there will be some quirks to it, and they will announce more soon. Trust me, you'll understand when you see it.
It's probably more like you know, you activate it, and you can see their silhouette for a wall and stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah, like a maybe like a radar ping or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And then the random weapon spawns was also announced. So the weapon drops are not random, as O'Connor explained, but they are telegraphed and in some way predictable. There is variation, however. Map control will still be key, but yes, changed. Custom games will be heavily customizable, and initial playlists will be clean and focused. Players will not be able to basically just camp out on the weapon spawn. And that's, I think, the big thing they're trying to achieve with that. But yeah, so some crazy stuff happening in Halo.
Yeah, well, I think they do need to shake it up a bit. It's good. It's all healthy. Some of it will work, some of it won't.
Yeah, I've seen some of the recent scans off that game. Man, it is looking good. I will say 343 definitely doing it justice. All right, Mark, what new Capcom game was announced and being developed by Spark Unlimited? Is that game Battlefront 3, Lost Planet 3, or Legendary 2?
I think I know this because I posted on the PlayVault forums for John Mao because he loves this game. Frost Granite P, which is Lost Planet 3.
Yes.
Just the call Frost Granite Poo, don't we, off of Lost Planet 2.
Yeah, it is Lost Planet 3. Oddly enough, Spark Unlimited did make Legendary. They also made Turning Point Fall of Liberty.
Whoa.
Yeah, not exactly a pedigree.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there's a lot of concern right now about why this game is being handed over to them. Capcom had cited their passion and ability as the reason why they were handing it over. My take on it is, well, Lost Planet didn't do terribly well, especially the second one tanked.
We can't afford to make it.
Yeah, they certainly haven't been, you know, winning a lot of people over of late, so maybe they're thinking, well, we can hand it off to these guys.
They're probably the people that made Lost Planet 2, they're probably on working on some like a bigger IP. Handed this, like, what's this developer doing? All right, give them that.
Yeah, so interesting things on this, interesting tidbits have come out. So Lost Planet 2 co-op focused and grind heavy campaign are being tossed aside. And they're basically creating a story-driven open hub game where you'll be able to talk to NPCs, uncover side quests, upgrade your gear, and build your own bipedal mech rig from custom parts you unlock over the course of the campaign.
You bought it day one, Greg?
I might have to, just based off that description.
Yep.
And even better, it says that this go-round, remember the T-Eng? That was that orange globbly stuff that the bugs would spew out when you killed them, and you had to get that to stay alive. Yeah, that was horrible, and it was a horrible mechanic. It's being refocused, and now that is a commodity rather than a health resource.
Good.
So you'll pick that stuff up as basically money. and then you'll use that to buy new weapons and upgrade your mech and stuff. So it's got some possibility. It has a pretty good trailer up on the internets now, so go check it out if you want to check out some Lost Planet 3. It's, of course, all CGI, so who knows what the final game will look like. But
yeah, the trailer's pretty cool. But, you know, you can't discredit them too much because, you know, a decent developer, a developer with, like, a budget might do something good, you know. Funny thing about the game Legendary, Greg, I don't know if you know this, but it was originally called Legendary The Box.
Yes.
And do you know why they changed it?
I don't.
Well, this was coming out in 2007. It was due to be released in 2007. I don't think it ended up coming out until 2008. But another game that came out in 2007 was Halo 3. And the top tier version of Halo 3 was a Legendary, the box Legendary. Like, you know, got this box. And they, like, cut the box out of the title because they didn't want people getting mixed up with the Halo.
Well, maybe they should have.
Yeah, could have been an advantage to them, yeah. Yeah.
All right, next question goes to you, Mr. Matthew. Sony has announced its latest financial forecast and is predicting what? Is it predicting A, $1.2 billion annual profit, B, a $1.2 billion operating loss, or C, a $6.4 billion annual loss?
I saw this on Reuters. 6.4. Well, no, that was last year. Wait, this is a prediction, or is this what already happened?
This is what they are predicting.
I'm still going to go with it. 6.4 billion annual loss.
Yep. Actually, Chris, this was an easy one for you. There was actually two correct answers in here. They are predicting a 6.4 billion loss, which is doubling its previous estimate. And a record loss for the firm, but they also are predicting a $1.2 billion operating loss from this year up through March 31st.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they also are expecting to cut 10,000 jobs.
Yeah,
that's not fair. He gets two answers that are right. I mean, this quiz though, where you win nothing, right? Is not fair. It's all biased. It's all biased. No, sorry.
Completely biased.
Because I'm American, and you're not. Deal.
Oh, all right, Mike, you are up next. What is the official new release date for Resident Evil 6?
October 2nd.
Which was previously...
October 2nd.
Haven't we talked about this before?
Sorry.
See, the whole purpose of the news quiz is not just for you. It's for our listeners. They would have loved an opportunity to guess the answer.
I don't know. It was Tourette's. I think I've got Tourette's.
Yeah, you do have Tourette's.
Like,
Tourette's.
Release date Tourette's. Where I just go, ah!
So, yeah. October 2nd.
Mike?
Sorry?
How does that go again? It's good. I like it.
Yeah. It is good. All right.
I'll get a question for you, Greg. I've just made up.
Okay.
Right?
I like the made-up ones.
So, what game has been touted to be released in October 2012 via a leaked CV?
Resident Evil 6?
Nope.
I don't know.
Anybody?
I don't know what a leaked CV is, by the
way. So somebody had like a CV and they wasn't really supposed to show the games on their resume. It's a resume, basically. Right. And they had a game on there, and it said due to be released, a certain game that was going to be released in 2012, October. And it's not.
I mean,
released.
At least I give you, like, the developer.
All right, I'll give you three options what game it could be. What game's not? BioShock Infinite, A. What other games are coming out?
Let it be, because it's having to think about it.
What is it? Resident Evil 6 or C, GTA 5.
GTA 5.
There you go, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
GTA 5. So, see? I could do a quiz as well. See,
you could. Thrilling. Anytime you want to do a quiz. All right, last but not least, Marcanix, a question that was completely right up your alley. What is the reason for GameStop now being required to put up signs for California customers on used games that warn them they will have to pay for online codes to access advertised free DLC when it's free to only new customers who buy it.
I were only in there last week. I should have realized, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I know. Is it A, California passed a law? Is it B, GameStop is testing the concept out in California only currently? Or is it C, it's a result of a class action lawsuit?
I think there was something similar over here, what they were trying to do about the second-hand game. So I'd say C, a lawsuit.
Look at you. You are a smart one. Mark Wright is right. as a result of a class action lawsuit settlement, GameStop now is required to put up these signs in California only.
Let's be honest, Greg.
Let's be honest.
Anything that happens in California is probably the result of a lawsuit.
You know, unfair. Probably true, but still unfair.
Come on.
And how is this? This isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is one time where you can say the legal system actually did something good.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
Okay.
It's now helping unwary and unknowingly, you know what?
If you as a consumer can't do just the tiniest little bit of fact checking on your own and make an informed decision, then you deserve it.
Okay, but what if you went into GameStop and you saw, say, a used copy of Gears of War and it said, free DLC for, whatever map pack. You know, you might buy that for a little.
As an informed customer, I would ask the clerk, hey, do I get this DLC with this used copy or do I need a new copy?
I think.
Yeah, but you have to admit, GameStop's pretty shady, and they probably weren't saying anything.
I think you're speaking for yourself there, Chris. I think you would do that, which is absolutely the right thing to do.
I'm going to step down off my soapbox, but that's exactly my point. It's your responsibility as a consumer to inform yourself.
It's for all the mums buying Modern Warfare 3 for all the 10-year-olds, isn't it?
Maybe. That's what it's aimed for. I think what Chris does is that's absolutely the correct thing to do. You know, you should check these things. And then, Greg, right. You bring up a great point as, the people in these GameStops and shops and stuff aren't exactly geniuses when it comes to this. In fact, some of them don't necessarily all play games as avidly as we do. And then people don't fact check these things. Sometimes, people buy a game and they just don't care as much, and then they realize and they get mad afterwards. I don't necessarily have a problem with this at all.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't have a problem with it at all either.
I don't have an issue with the sign being there. It's fine as whatever. There's no personal accountability in this country anymore, and that's our problem.
I know. Well, the next time you buy the car and you say, hey, does it have brakes? Remember to make sure you ask, do the brakes work?
This way you take a test drive, Greg.
Hey, the good news out of this, by the way, besides the nice signs that are going to be put up, California customers also that potentially were quote-unquote deceived in this whole deal can get their $15 back from GameStop in the form of GameStop credit.
Sweet.
So it works out for GameStop, too. They're going to come back and have to buy something with it. But, hey, that's it for the news quiz.
News quiz.
I got nothing else.
Done.
I do believe we have the old game guess.
Chris, oh yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I've got a game.
I've got a game, and we're going to guess it.
Several, in fact. I only took one for the guessing game.
I appreciate that. So, Mark, I don't know if you are familiar, but we do this we started this up probably 2 weeks back.
Yeah.
It was a total wreck then, and it's continued to be a wreck. But for some reason, we're sticking with it. Chris has a game in his hand.
It's actually box sitting on the couch next to me, but close enough.
Staring right at him. And we all get three guesses, three questions we can ask, and then collectively we will come up with the name of the game and move on from this.
Terrible, terrible feature.
Yeah, pretty much.
If it's so bad, why don't we just axe it?
No, I like it.
You know what?
I love the fact that it's terrible.
It is character building. So here we go.
I don't know how to handle that.
is
as you
is
would
this
say,
game
deal with it?
Deal with it.
Yes, deal.
Yeah, deal with it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Is this game a shooter?
Ooh.
No.
Okay.
He thought about it. I
know. He did think about it. Is this game in the first-person view?
It is and it isn't.
Okay, so you can... Man, and now I almost want to... It clearly goes back and forth. I think I already know what it is.
It could be several things. Could be...
Yeah, yeah. Is this game made by Bethesda?
No.
Damn it. Yeah, I have no clue what it is then. Mike, go next.
I'm gonna try and nail this genre. What it is? So, is this a sci-fi game?
No.
Not a sci-fi.
Is this a fantasy game?
No.
Is this game set in modern times?
Yes.
All right, I'm done. Mark.
Is this game an RPG?
No.
Is the main playable character a male?
Yes.
Last question, Mark.
Mm.
Make it good. No pressure.
Does this game involve using a lot of vehicles?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh. So, he said it's not a shooter.
Yeah.
It goes between first person and third person view.
Modern day.
You use a lot of vehicles.
Could be Forza.
No.
Why not?
It could be, because when you're looking at the replay, there is a guy in your car, isn't there? There's a guy driving it.
It could be third person or first person.
Yeah,
in the car or in the car.
Yeah, I'd go with Forza.
I think we have to go with Forza 4.
It is not Forza 4.
Fuck you, Chris!
Is it Just Cause 2, by chance?
It is not Just Cause 2.
But along those lines, maybe Saints Row 3rd?
It is not Saints Row the 3rd.
Fucking hell.
Can I just keep naming games?
Just keep going.
Borderlands.
It is, in fact, Ace Combat 6, Fires of Liberation.
Oh, you bastard.
Not even close.
Well, he's close with the vehicles.
Yeah.
If Marcus said cars, vehicles, then we would have...
Yeah. Vehicles was deceiving because it's just a bunch of planes and helicopters. Nicely played, Mr. Matthew.
Well,
nicely played.
I wasn't trying to stump you, but that's why I wasn't sure about shooter, because you do shoot things, but it's not in the shooter genre, you know?
Yeah.
No, fair enough.
I think if you'd have said it was a shooter, then that would have confused us more. So.
Yeah, right. I think that was correct.
Well, that was the thing. And, like, there's the Ace Combat games all feature some elements of science fiction with the giant flying bosses you have to fight, but it's not really... in the science fiction genre, you know, so I don't know. I was trying not to confuse you.
We appreciate that. All right. Speaking of appreciation.
I win.
Yes, you win, and it is time for the show break, which, God willing, we might have some music from Mr. Duke Scott going on right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's for Weston. I flex with my box, X, not Deus Ex. I snap necks and make suckers bleed. You need to pay heed to my Assassin's Creed. Let me feed my steed, grab your attention with Red Dead Redemption. You feel like a zero and I'm a DJ hero. You get down to the sound and shake your booty. And you'll yield on the battlefield when you feel my steel up in Call of Duty. I leave you left for dead with two shots to the head after a Need for Speed pursuit with hot chasing. And I cause heavy pain like Quantic Heavy Rain running after you shouting, Jason, Jason, Jason.
Jason, 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 J
The Keflings got a kingdom cause they asked me to bring them a couple sticks, bundles of wool, and piles of rocks. When I'm rushing and attacking, you know I know how to stack them because I am the man who arranged the blocks. I turn the gears of war, go through the portal, not the door, leaving bodies on the floor in the kingdoms of Amalur. You're always wanting more cause I get the party started. My last record didn't sell, so you could say it's uncharted. The whole world is a stage, but I live in a dragon age. Search the DC wasteland looking for fuel for my flamer. I play to win when I'm in the environs of Skyrim. They call me E, co-host of the veteran gamers. 6 different rainbows and 8 separate sections meet you on the home front with insurgent directions. Pedal to the floor, 4's a 4, final lap, rolling through the borderlands with Claptrap.
Oh, come on,
check me out. I'm destined to spit lyrics at Weston's suggestion. I keep them game-related, so I'm loved and not hated among the BG hub and all the ladies at the club or the pub. As my mates in the UK would say, request, you better send. I'm all over words with friends. The game train is boarding. I'm balling like Chad Borden. There's blood on the sand. Got Boone to lend a hand because the fiends start to plague us when we're rolling New Vegas. Hey, hey, the games I play, Xbox and PS Trey, Call of Duty, Guns Akimbo, killing spiders in Limbo, getting wild in Saints Row, weapon dipping in crystal. Then I put you in a coma like Driver San Francisco.
Come on, let's get down. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's get down. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's get down. Come on, everybody. Kick me out. I'm dancing. I'm dancing.
So back from the break, and that actually was a
break.
Long break. That was a real break.
Chris and Mark and I were talking about health options and how to lose weight. So if you want to know how to lose weight, stay tuned to the end.
Yeah.
from three people that aren't exactly slim. So you know, none of us are.
You kind of are, Mike. You really
oh, no,
are.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Hey, question of the week. We had a question for this week. It stemmed from the whole Ghost Recon beta debacle, which is basically they said it was going to be an exclusive beta to the Splinter Cell Conviction owner, so hang on to your copy because that's the only way you're going to be able to get the beta.
I've still got mine, Greg.
Yep.
Me too.
2 years later, they said, screw it. We're giving it to the PSN Plus users too because they gave us some cash and some incentives. And we're also going to give it away on the site and Facebook. And, yeah, it kind of became not so exclusive. So the question really is, does exclusivity on a beta mean something to you? You know, does it bother you if it isn't?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Wow. This is a topic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the reality of it, exclusivity on a beta doesn't matter. But in this instance, and maybe it's probably better that we look at this particular instance, does this bother you that they kind of held you at hostage to hang on to your Splinter Cell Conviction for 2 years because they kept saying it was the only way you were going to be able to get in the beta, and then lo and behold, hey, you know what, there were other ways.
I never took it as a this is going to be the only way you're getting that beta.
Is properly pronounced beta.
Yeah, well, this is support of the LCC.
In America,
right? So, I never thought that like that's the only way you can get into the beta. I never thought, oh, like, there's no other way. But the kind of main issue I have with it really is that everything that game publishers put on a box is pretty much sacred. You know, like every inch is pretty kind of valuable to them on that box because everything is a selling point. Every picture on the back is very important. And some, not all, but some cases, some publishers take a lot of time and research into what goes on the back and the front of the box. And any text, any promotion, any, hey, free DLC, on the front of the Splinter Cell box, I have it in my hand right now. It says, in a big circle, you know, multiplayer beta, limited time offer, coming in summer 2010. It's a selling point. They put that on the box to make you buy the game. Now, I didn't buy the game because I wanted to play that beta, but I feel sorry for the man or woman who has. So, that's my issue. If somebody's bought the Splinter Cell purely for the beta, then that's a bit of a problem.
Okay. Mark, what are your thoughts?
I don't really have a problem with it. Like, I've still got my Splinter Cell, but I don't really trade many games in, and I've still got some stuff to do on it anyway. But I'd want as many people as possible to play the beta, because the more people you've got on it, the better they can stress test the servers. You just look at Battlefield, for example, with the server problems they had. So,
Now, wait a minute. Battlefield 3, I don't even want to hear that they had a beta, because they did not.
It was a demo.
It was a demo. They released that what was it 2 weeks before the game launched?
Yeah. I think they intended it to be a beta, and then they went, actually, it's getting pretty late. Yeah, so
they still screwed it up.
But the Ghost Recon beta's in April, is it? Sometime this month. But doesn't the game launch in May?
Yes.
How many weeks is that? That's not long, is it?
Yeah, and generally, a game goes gold
a month
before it's released.
Yep. Right. Well, obviously, they can do server tweaks, can't they?
I suppose. But how much can you do in a month? You know, you can't change geometry, in maps, or, it has to be tweaks, I suppose. You know, small, kind of tweaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're only doing a beta because of the fact they've stuck it on the Splinter Cell box.
Right. And they didn't want to get a lawsuit from California. Chris, what do you think?
I agree with all the points that have been made so far. I mean, I don't care about exclusivity of beta access, but like Mike said, they used this as an advertising gimmick, and then they had to follow through with it. I think we're absolutely right. It's not really a beta; it's a demo.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's jump in and see what the community had to say. I know we didn't have any tweets on it, but we did have some forum responses. I believe, Mr. Matthew, you are taking lag.
Yeah, I am. I have a terrible connection provided by Time Warner Cable. Right. From the Lousing It Gaming's community, let's see, Womble says...
Good name.
It should be open to all, in my opinion. If you're exclusive in your beta, then you're only going to let the opinions of those fans who are fully involved in what direction the game is taking, and they are either going to love what the developer's doing or nerd rage. In having an all-access beta, you would get a more broad spectrum of views and may even get yourself a few more fans in the process. And Thuper says, I don't care about exclusivity myself, but telling people it's exclusive for 2 years so they hold on to a game forever, parentheses, I kept it because I like it and will gladly play it again, is pretty messed up. If you don't, then... is pretty messed up if you then open it to all. Sorry, Thuper, I'm a terrible reader. Open to all or exclusive, both are fine. Just don't jerk people around. I like Womble's take on it, although I will say betas or demos can backfire. I've been turned away from a couple of games I was planning to buy once I played the demo and realized how much I'd not enjoy it. I think Crackdown 2 might have been an example of that. And if the beta goes a bit south, you just alienated a whole lot of potential customers with a product that isn't fully realized yet. A product they might actually like if you hadn't convinced them not to purchase it. So launching a demo, risky business.
Yeah. Although I think it's kind of been proven that demos, I mean, as long as the game isn't utter shit, tend to help sell it more than hurt it.
Sometimes.
Says you.
Says me. What did the Play Vault have to say, Mr. Marcanix?
John Mouse has just put a quick reply on. He's put, everyone gets to play it eventually, so I don't think that it does matter. Ghost Recon does look awesome, but how many people have actually kept their copy of Splinter Cell?
Me.
Apparently all of us here.
We're all suckers.
Take that, Tom.
I kept it, though, because I love Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore that game. Conviction, that is.
Yes. Conviction was good. I love the Splinter Cell, period, so... anyway... That's a different story for a different day. The Gate community did have a couple of responses. Let's see here. So we had Dauntless Anzible. He said, Ghost Recon Future Soldier isn't on my buy list yet, but but after being angered and tossing terrible accusations at the publisher, I suspect I would ask why they feel the need more. Sorry, they feel the need more people in the beta. I think it is to put more people in the beta. Ultimately, more player data should only help improve the game's release. This beta release is probably more like a glorified early multiplayer demo to work out any connection bugs and performance issues before release day. You hear that, EA? That's what it's for. Sure, it stinks that, by the way, it's just me adding in. Sure, it stinks that you had to hold on to a game for nearly that is nearly worthless now. I say just open it up to whoever wants it, like they did with Syndicate. Ultimately, the final product is what you're going to pay for, and nothing from the beta, will really benefit you. Okay. Then we had Mr. Parsnip Nose 3000 chime in. He said, I'm relieved it's been opened up because I rented Splinter Cell instead of buying it. But that's just me being selfish. If I'd known about it at the time Splinter Cell was released, it may have tipped the balance and made me buy it instead. Then I'd be annoyed. But that's just me being selfish again. So I think kind of everybody's on the same page. At least that's the way it sounds so far to me. Mike, what about, I think we had an email.
We did. Greg, we had an email from David A. And he says, hi guys, Greg Show. I'm not upset because, one, I was going to buy Splinter Cell anyway. B, there will be no more people to play with online. Or B, I'm just too excited for this game to be finally released. Take care.
You're up.
David, gamertag, Mr. Da Faze.
Yeah. Funny, funny man, Mike.
I see
Mike.
What you did there, Mike. Nice.
Funny, funny, yeah.
It's a little joke that I put in there. But David doesn't care because he just wants the game to be out, which I think most people do. You know, it's kind of like it was such a long... It's like you know, Nazi Germany. Ah, it was such a long time ago. We could joke about it now. You know? Right? That's right. I've just compared Ghost Recon to Nazi Germany. Go figure. Yeah, I don't think really... If this had been happening last year, maybe a little bit more prevalent still in people's minds, but 2012...
Yeah, it has been a while.
It has been a while.
Hey, we got our first voicemail.
Yeah. First
voicemail, Mr. Steve Conger dialed in, and he had quite a bit to say.
He's not trying to tell about the game, is he? In getting people to pre-order that game, is it?
maybe. Here we go. Have a listen.
Hey, Overseas Connection. It is Jeff here, and I was calling to just touch on a little bit of what you talked about Mass Effect 3 and the amendment of the sort of ending with the prologue, or the epilogue, I guess. And, Greg, I think you're right. One thing we do not want in video games, I guess, in the industry is development by proxy. I mean, if BioWare starts to buckle, and this is the one thing that kills me, is why couldn't they have just stood up and said, look, this is our creative vision, this is what we wanted to do, you're entitled to an opinion. But it just makes me think that I'm willing to bet that it was pretty much Electronic Arts saying, Oh God, you guys are going to have to fix this or else nobody's going to sort of fall for our elaborate DLC plans for the next year or so. And wouldn't it be kind of ironic if Electronic Arts was the ones that maybe put the time and money constraints on the original ending and now it comes back to bite them in the ass? But I don't know, development by proxy sort of... I don't know, it bothers me because then it gives every snot-nosed 13-year-old with a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor the same weight in words as someone who actually has something insightful to say. So, anyway, on to the question of the week. Betas. Exclusivity? I don't think it matters. I mean, I think you have to sit there and look at, are you actually playing a beta, or has beta become a sort of term used in the ethos now, you know, to convey something that you know when you get to play it early. And I don't know. I think it's a moot point because if you really want to play the beta, and you want to feel exclusive, that means that the developer and the publisher are not getting the game out to a wider audience. And that is what needs to happen for the game to sort of reach a more mainstream success and to capture a bigger corner of the market share. And that leads to sequels. So you either like it or you don't. It's a double-edged sword. I get it. But I don't think beta exclusivity really matters. I mean, everybody wants to feel important, but just be happy you're playing the game early. And you know what? Go on some forums. Go on some places where the developer is going to see your issues and your gripes with it and try to help in the development process, and don't be a hindrance by bitching that everybody else gets to get into it. So be constructive, be helpful, and, you know, let's love games. Let's love the fact that they give us early access. So that's about it. Thanks, OC guys, and take care. Love the show. I'll be listening. See ya.
All right, Steve, thank you for that phone call.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. So Mr. Conger, chiming in on the old Mass Effect thing. I love the fact that, by the way, Steve said I was right.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all heard that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we heard that.
No.
Okay.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. and I think we can all safely say, with regards to the beta stuff, I mean, we're pretty much all in agreement. It doesn't matter so much that it's exclusive or not, but certainly the shady tactics of putting it on the box as kind of a gimmick to sell it, you have to have some responsibility when you do that. And I personally think this beta should have probably come out much sooner, and or at least they should have done something to reward those customers that were loyal and did buy the game and held on to it. Yeah. I guess maybe that's the one beef I have. Is that they kind of did say to all the Splinter Cell Conviction people that have that game, well, you know, thanks for buying our product and you know, supporting us, but we're not giving you anything really special anymore.
They could have opened it a couple of weeks earlier for those who do have Conviction, couldn't they?
I think that would have been a nice touch. Say, you know, hey, the 12th, everybody gets it for the Splinter Cell Conviction, and then after that, on the 17th or whenever it is, it opens up to everybody else. I think that probably would have satisfied any of those that are actually angry. But, oh well. So much for that. We do have a question for next week's show, which, Mr. Matthew, would you like to read off this question?
No.
No?
No, because I closed the show notes. Hold on a second.
Damn it, I hate when that happens. But, I mean, you came up with this question, or was it you that just typed the question somebody else came
up with it? No, I came up with it. I just forgotten what it was since then. Give me a minute.
Well, in fact, it is pretty straightforward.
Hold on, I'm right there.
Okay, you're right there?
Still.
Are you sure? How about now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, oh, wait. Scrolling.
Scrolling.
There we go.
Awesome podcast. Yeah. Scrolling.
Great. Just listen, people. You get what you pay for. All right. You get what you pay for. Here's a question for next week. Lots of rumors swirling about the next generation of consoles. Most of them probably bollocks. But one that I think might hold some validity is the lack of backwards compatibility. So my question is this. Is a lack of backwards compatibility important to you? Will you buy this next console sooner or later, based on whether or not you can play your previous gen games on it?
Okay.
Is that too confusing? Should I say it differently?
You could say it like this. How will the lack of backwards compatibility affect when you purchase the next round of consoles, if at all?
You could say it like that. Yeah, but that's so boring.
That is so boring.
So bourgeois.
So run-of-the-mill. Almost like text on a document.
Almost like English.
Yeah. All right, but yeah, so answer that question. Don't be afraid. Send us emails. Chime in on the forums. You can even call us. We got lots of ways. We'll talk about that shortly. Right now, though, Chris, we're going to talk community playdates.
Well, there aren't any, so we're not. But the Forza Motorsport 4 painting challenges are ongoing. So painting challenge number 1 is up for the vote. Cast your vote. And painting challenge number 2 is ongoing. The theme for painting challenge number 2 is overhauling my ride. In other words, if you've ever watched the show Overhaulin' or Pimp My Ride, take a car in Forza and make it look like one of those cars. The vote for the coolest Skyrim character name is ongoing, and a couple of folks on the forums have rented some Battlefield 3 servers. So if you are having a hard time finding a public game, Greg, maybe you can jump on to servers hosted by Stomper 1974 or XOGX space guns with two N's and a Z. And if you want to play Black Ops because you don't like new games, you can play that with the veteran gamers at 6 p.m. in the UK on Sunday.
Can you read out what I've put on the show notes, please? The game that I've written out.
I just did.
No, no, you didn't.
He wants to hear.
I'm not doing that. Happy birthday.
You're not going to lower yourself, Chris.
Tainted being Dirty Larry and Greasy Fish Lips. And welcome to... Oh, there aren't any new members. If you're listening and you haven't joined, go ahead and do so. We're not mean, we promise. Except me. I'm mean.
You are mean. You're very mean.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not mean, Parson Knows 3000, and he did send us a community spotlight.
Hello, this is Parsnip Nose with another weekly community spotlight. This week, I want to mention Dana, who I think is undoubtedly the most talented drawer out of the G4TE universe. I always feel very ashamed when I send him my little stickmen pictures, and he sends me some lovely portrait back of something clever like Captain Birdseye. Anyway, I'm jealous. And my special guest star this week is my neighbour who's pressure washing his front drive. So thanks, neighbour. I appreciate that. Till next week. Bye-bye.
And thank you for that. Emailing the show, you can always email the show at ocpodcast@gmail.com. We will read it off like we did earlier with Mr. Defies.
Yeah.
And, you could tweet us. We take the tweets.
That's popularity, that Twitter thing. That's kicking off, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. I think it's going to be the next rage.
Same as this internet thing. This is pretty good.
It is coming around. But if you want to tweet us, we're at @OC_podcast.
Yeah.
And like I said, Mike, if you were really rich, you could call in and leave us a voicemail if you wanted. 626-506-2763. If you're in the U.S., like Shinyverse or Chipper Cipher, pick up the damn phone. I know your cell phone has unlimited calling. Come on. Don't be afraid. 626-50-OC-POD.
Be afraid.
Call us.
Be very
afraid. Be very afraid. iTunes and Zoom reviews. We do love them. We heart them. We appreciate them.
Is it worth mentioning the Zoom anymore, Greg? I know you try and hang on to it, but...
Yes, because I'm looking at my Zoom right now. Yes, I'm one of the few that still has it. I love my Zoom. Mm. Don't make fun of my Zoom.
Okay.
You're terrible.
Shout-outs. Mark. Start us off.
Well, first off, I'd like to shout out you guys for having me on again. It's been a while since I've been on, and I've really enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Really?
You sure?
It's not often I get Tuesday night off work, so the first time I've got one off, I'm on the show. Yeah.
But you don't have to lie, Mark. You know what I mean? That's the limit.
And also the Gears 3 crew from the weekend. It was so much fun. That was David the Alien... my son Infobro, there was Amaranth, Gamergirl 27, Jade Archer, M. Brashler. Oh God, there were so many, I can't remember them all now. But yeah, most of the lag people, so if you were there at the weekend, thank you very much for some great games. And over to Mike.
I should think about these, shouldn't I? Right. So I'll do an easy share and share Mark for coming on. That's always an easy one. I'll share out Duke and his new podcast. I don't know if anybody else has been listening, but I listen to it, and it makes me feel clever for 45 minutes. Because I've listened to a podcast about, you know, politics and such, Greg. You know what I mean? I'm like, ah, look at me. Check me out. Don't know what he's saying, but... It's all good. I'll shout out Blue Hellman. He sent me a message over Xbox Live telling me that GTA 5 could be coming out in October. So it's quite nice that he thought of me as soon as he heard that news. Enough so that he sent me a message. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Who hasn't done a shout out?
Chris? Me?
Chris can go. You're the host, Greg. You're talking up.
Okay. I'm going to shout out the Play Vault podcast because they played a horrible song that was stuck in my head all day. thanks. And I was going to shout out Mark for being on the show, but instead I'm going to shout out Mark for being our Facebook fan of the week. Mark and Jenny Wright are our Facebook fans of the week. So congratulations to you two. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And that just leaves Greg.
Well, Mark, thank you for coming on the show. As always, it's a pleasure to speak to you. You're such a nice guy.
Yeah. It's the problem with Mark, and he's too nice.
I know. I know. You want to say mean things about the guy. You just can't.
I feel bad, don't you?
Yeah.
I still do, but I feel bad.
A big shout-out to Smurf Herding. Big popular thing happening.
Yep.
Check it out. Duke, big shout-out to you for the rap song. You got skills, man.
Great, innit? Skills. I love that. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. And a shout-out to EA. Thank you for ruining Battlefield 3.
Well done, EA.
Yeah. Well, that's it, guys. That's the show. That's a wrap.
We're done.
Yay.
Sweet. Jabba fool.
That was like when I first met Chris. He was out here. He brought his Xbox with him, and he's like doing work and then playing games while he's doing his work. I was like, "How are you doing that?" And he's like, "Well, the stuff that I'm doing, I just have to kind of monitor. It's not like he was actually doing anything at that point."
We had to do that. I did that in grad. Well, not only when I was in California, but when we set up our lab in Kansas. You know, a lot of the times we'd set the experiment up, and then we just had to let it run for an hour. So we'd push go, and then we had an hour to kill. So we'd play Xbox.
So Conger tried to invade our podcast.
You told him no?
Sounds like bollocks.
No, I didn't tell him no, because he's actually recording tonight on his own. But he did manage to invade our podcast, which you will see down the road.
All right.
We got our first voicemail. Let's just put it that
he's
way.
Like, he's what? Like, usually when he shows up, he's the one bastion of rational thought in the room.
I know, that's why I had to keep him away.
JRPGs are just not as popular, and they don't sell as well in the Western market. That's why. Because they are a bit shit.
A bit?
Well, yeah, I'm being kind there, I think.
You are being a little kind.
Because now, America and Britain have caught up and gone, we could do that, and better. It really is like a bit of potluck, mate, with British weather.
It's killing me. She hates the cold weather.
It's not, mate, in June, July, and August, it isn't cold, but it probably would be, like, for you, but
right.
it isn't cold. Even if it's raining, it's not cold. but it's just, you know, June, July, or August, what do you reckon, Mark? June, July, or August, you're kind of hitting the mark there.
Yeah, past few years, June's been better, but like you say, it's just guesswork. You can't say, oh, that week's going to be good.
Yeah.
Why do you think all those Brits bugger off to Spain every year?
Yeah.
I realize that now, but I'm kind of laughing because as we're having this conversation, I'm like, no.
It's not that bad.
That's all I see my wife
You know saying. What? Yeah, right.
Well, you're like, okay, it's not that cold when it's not raining, but when it's raining, it's not that cold. And I'm like, okay, things my wife hates, the cold and the rain.
What?
He's calling. Oh, hang on. Right back.
Don't forget. He's boss. He's ringing when he should be working. What the fuck is that?
I would be inconsiderate of his boss.
I know.
I decided
Chris,
that I hate eBay.
Yeah, I hate eBay. Chris, I have a question for you.
47.
No, that's not the answer to everything. Even though it is. Right, so... Mass Effect 2.
Two.
The Arrival.
Arrival.
Yeah, DLC. So I downloaded all the DLC for Mass Effect 2, and I played it recently. And I remembers that I thought, actually, there was the Arrival DLC. And I thought, maybe I didn't download it. And I did download it, but I didn't play it. And I thought I'd kind of done everything. So I was just wondering how you start the Arrival.
It's probably a message from Hackett that you got to go get and do the thing with the thing. Hey, Greg's back.
Yes, I'm back. We're good to go now.
We're talking about you, by the way.
I know, I could tell.
We were saying a lot of bad things.
You should, especially about Battlefield 3, the bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're saying bad things about you.
Well, okay, that's a given.
That's a given.
You can't get under my skin today, Chris. You just can't.
You're not going to do it,
Chris. You know why? Because Steel Battalion, co-op, four-player, online. Oh, yeah.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, by the way.
Don't be saying that. You'll be loving it.
Gregor's.
Bastard. What?
You know, Lost Planet 3 was announced today.
Yes.
There's mechs in it.
Yes.
The size of monsters.
Yes.
That are huge.
Yes.
And in the trailer, he had a drill arm like in Bioshock, and he fucked him up with it.
It's nice.
I thought of you.
You should.
Greg has turned into me.
I hope you're ready for this, Mark Hanix.
Yeah. He loves
I guess
it.
I'll call you Mark.
Yeah. Wait,
it's been a while since I've been on. I think last one was the E3 show, last time I was on.
Don't worry, mate. I'd just be very, very nervous if I were you.
I'd throw up right now if you can, just to get it out of the system.
Do it.
Play Draw Something.
Damn that game.
Yeah, I can't wait to not play that on nothing.
Yeah.
I caught up on it. I've not been on it for a while.
Sorry, Mark. Usually, like, Chris to start the show, which is where we all go starting and Greg starts. Yeah, so, but usually, me and Chris just do what you just did, where we just interrupt. Greg, you know what I might do? Can we start off the show with, I love games, and I really want an iPad. If everybody donates £5, that means
I think we should.
250 people have to donate.
Let's start it off right now. Hang on. And go.
Come on. It's too cruel. It's too cruel.
We need to do a Kickstarter to get you an iPad.
I like it. We're announcing a Kickstarter. Mike Chin.
Is that where you pay to kick him?
Yes.
Imagine what if I did that. I just want an iPad. That's it.
All right, let's start the show.
Okay.
Here we go.
Buy me an iPad.
Hey, really? The noise.
Hey, I'm a fucking... Ha, 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 buy me an iPad. There's that girl, you know, on Wii Fit. There's that four-year-old girl that went on Wii Fit, and the BMI said that she was overweight. She's 4 years old. She's 4 years old. You're overweight. You've already got problems 4 years in, you know. So, and I doubt she was, you know. Like she's just like.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of kids in America that are overweight.
But you know, I doubt she was. And at 4 years old, you shouldn't really be worried about it. It's not your fault. It's the parents.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah. But anyway,
well, now that we've covered this. I suppose we're recording right now, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, we're doing a podcast.
We got started on talking about this, Greg, was I'm not eating after 7 p.m. anymore.
That's a good call.
Mark says, I haven't heard you eating. Well, you haven't eaten? I was like, no, I can't. I really can't eat anymore after 7 p.m.
See? Because your insecurity of weight will help the podcast.
You burn less calories, I know. That's a fact. Yeah.
Unless you do a bunch of calisthenics right before you go to bed, in which case you'll burn calories all night.
Right. Or the sexy, if you do the sexy.
I was going to say, unless you go to active sex.
The calisthenics.
Or if you do sex the way I do it, which you'll burn nothing. Honey, you're on top again.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this line of conversation.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.